Well, good morning, everyone. Let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Father, we come before you this morning with such grateful hearts. Thank you for your written word, Lord, as we will look at so many promises today that you gave to Abraham. And I don't know, there's over 30 promises just in chapter 17. And how in the world he would remember those, just hearing them once. But you've given them to us in writing that we can go over and over it again. And so, Lord, help us to glean what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing on. We're at about the fifth dialogue in the Bible. And this is quite a dialogue, as you know. Now, remember last week we had just one verse, the first verse in chapter 17. And God said, I am El Shaddai, I'm God Almighty, now you be blameless, you be blameless. And we know what a big command that is, really. But I was just thinking, you know, it had been 13 years since Abraham had heard from God, at least as far as recorded for us in the scripture. He heard from God when they had Hagar. And then he goes 13 years without hearing from God. Now he gets, just in this chapter alone, like 32 promises from God. And we'll go on. He'll be filling the next chapters 18, 19, 20, and 21 with continued dialogue with Abraham. And so we think, wow, we think how Abraham got so much. He didn't get a fraction of what you have. We got the whole counsel of God written down. Even you can tune in and you can listen to teachings and everything else on it all day long and all night long and never hear the same thing twice. So as I go through this morning, I was just kind of, I kept adding to it, and now it's a book almost, and I don't expect you to remember all of this, but as you see the volume of just this one chapter, just put yourself in Abraham's position a minute, just listening to God speak to him. And I mean, it's a wow, isn't it? But it all comes back to, it's not us, it's him. He's making almost all of these promises unilaterally. Abraham isn't promising to do anything. And that's like you and I. We think so much depends on us. And we have our role of responsibility and obedience. But it's really all him, all the way, everything. Everything is all him. The fact that you're here this morning is because he got you here. It wasn't because you're so skilled driving. I mean, you may be skilled drivers, but you can't control what everybody else does, can you? So Genesis chapter 17, we will read what we're going to cover, just 20 verses. Abraham heard last week from God, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. And then verse 2, and I will. Now you're going to see 13 I wills alone, and there's a number of more wills than just these. You're going to see 7 you shalls. There's actually 22 shalls in here, I believe. So there's all these promises, and we can see God's covenant so clearly in just this one chapter alone. God says, I will make my covenant between me and you. So who's doing all of that? It's God, right? And will multiply you exceedingly. So who is going to cause that? It's God. Then Abraham fell on his face. That's good. And God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. So here is the promise of many nations coming forth from Abraham. No longer, he's going to change his name now, no longer shall your name be called Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you, I have made you, I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, repeating that, and kings shall come from you. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations. So now That includes everyone in this room if we're a believer, because we're all grafted in to the family, right? So any promise made to Abraham applies to us. And what a God we have who will always keep his promises. He has no choice but to keep his promises, because he is righteous and just, not like us. So to your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. How long does that covenant last? Everlasting? To be God to you and your descendants after you. Well, what a promise. Also, I give to you and your descendants after you, what? The land in which you are a stranger. Wow. How widely is that believed in today's world? All the people screaming for Palestine, all the people screaming against God, all the people screaming against the Jews. But God has said, everlasting covenant to you and your descendants after you, I give you and your descendants after you a land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Isn't that great? He's not, you don't have, you know, Allah and all these false gods, of course, you don't even have to bring up them because they don't mean anything. But here is a God who says, I will be your God. I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you. So that's us as well. This is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your descendants after you. Every male child, here they're setting them apart now, every male child among you shall be circumcised, and you shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male child in your generations, he who is born in your house, or bought with money from any foreigner who is not your descendant. He who is born in your house and he who is bought in your house with your money must be circumcised, and my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised male child who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin, that person shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. Wow. Now we'll have Isaac's birth promised. You remember how 13 years earlier, Sarah and Abraham took matters into their own hands, and he went into Hagar and produced the child of the flesh, not a child of the spirit. That's not the promised son. Here's the promised son coming. Then God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call, he's changing her name now too, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Now remember, she's 90 years old now, maybe 89. That's old. Shall be cut off from his people. He has broken the covenant. And call her name Sarai. Shall be called Sarah. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of many nations. A mother of nations. Kings of people shall come from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? So Abraham falls on his face, but he does ask, here he asks a question. And Abraham said to God, now this is where he pipes up with his suggestion. But I already have a son. Oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no, Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son. So here he's telling the son's going to come from Sarah. And here he's going to say, you shall call his name Isaac. He's also going to say this time next year, so you're going to have this son. He's going to come from Sarah. Here is his name. I will establish my covenant with him. Wow. for an everlasting covenant, and with his descendants after him. So here's the line of the Messiah, just directly moving on here. And as for Ishmael, God speaking to Abraham, I have heard you. God always hears the prayers, doesn't he? I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him, and I will make him fruitful, and will multiply him exceedingly. And how that's happened. We have a lot more Ishmaelites than we do Jewish people. Multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah shall bear to you in this set time next year. So that's what we will cover today, and we'll move on next week to chapter 18. But as you are prompted, spend a little time going over these verses and just note the depth of detail that God is giving to Abraham here and all the promises that God has stated here, and he will keep every promise he's ever made or ever will make, right? It's very, very encouraging to see that he's given that to us in the written word, and we have it. And as Pastor Jack was saying, there's so much AI stuff going on now. Make sure you've got a written Bible that you pay attention to. Devices are fine, but you can't tell when they start changing the Word of God on you. And they're already changing that. And when you go to Google now or anything else, any search, it always gives you an AI search, right? And so we're to the point where we can't really believe anything really for sure, unless it's in the Word of God, right? In the written Word of God, not in the application Word of God, because you can't trust that either. And that's going to get worse and worse with more and more deception as we are winding down, it seems to me. So those are the promises. Just wanted to go to prayer. We've got a few more representatives to pray for today. But before we get into those, let's spend a little time contemplating on keeping his promises, on thanking him for his word, and as the Spirit leads you to pray, we can pray together. Let us pray. Well, I suggest we turn to page 3 and pray for the last state, Wyoming, and then there's 5 or 6 or 7 areas that U.S. has jurisdiction over. Each of them have one representative, and then for the Supreme Court justices and for our president and vice president. It's interesting, we have the state here with the lowest population of the 50, Wyoming, 576,000. That's just a little bit bigger than Long Beach. It's Santa Ana has about 350,000, Anaheim about 340, I think. So very, very, very few people. And yet it's the 10th largest state landmass, so it's a pretty big state. And it's just kind of interesting, some of these things that pop out as we go over these, you know, the largest landmass, of course, is Alaska, which is about 4 times the size of California. California's the 3rd biggest state in landmass. But very few people in Alaska, and Rhode Island, the smallest state. And the most populous state, of course, is California, with its 52 representatives. And we see how our list of representatives we pray for, of course, reflects the people, and always have 2 senators, which is the wisdom of the Lord through the Constitution. So every state gets its same vote for the Senate, but not in the House. The House is where the people are. And we'll pray for American Samoa, very small country, a very small population. I think it's less than 100,000. District of Columbia, I don't know the population of that. Guam, few people. Mariana Islands, few people. Puerto Rico, more people. Virgin Islands, not too many people. So I don't know where we stopped last time, but who prayed last? Who ended up? I know you prayed. Please, start out with Wyoming. Okay. Amen. All red. Wyoming is an all red state. America Samoa, if you like A's and E's, and you'll like Samoan names here apparently. Governor Pula Nukualoa Pula, Lieutenant Governor Talauiga Eliaso, and we have the representative delegate. I didn't give you the last two names actually of that Lieutenant Governor. It's Talaluago Eliaso Ba'alele Ele, so something like that. Representative is Amata Radawagan. So, Father, we lift up American Samoa. There are quite a few Christians there, but we pray for your will to be done in that little island. And we pray that the representative and the other officials here would be led by you and would be seeking to do your will. We ask in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for meeting us here again this morning. I do want to just add Mike and Kelly Johnson to the list. They're in Israel right now and meeting in Huckabee, and pray for him as well. Thank you for those two godly men and how you're using them in such a great way. And pray for President Trump. Thank you for him and how many good things he's standing for. I thank you for the defunding of some of that public broadcasting system this last week, and now opening up the voter registration fraud with all of the people on there that are illegals and so forth. And the Lord just fighting at every turn, but that is the way the walk doing right is. It's always a battle. And I do, again, lift up, as already earlier lifted up, 495. I just pray that that would be withdrawn. And I pray that those who might even plan to go up there would spend more time in prayer than that one day of the trip. I could accomplish so much if we could pray and continue to come against the evil, Lord, and they'll all crumble eventually, but it can cause a lot of damage in the meantime. And we thank you for what you are doing. So we want to stand on those promises today, and this Maranatha singing this particular song, Standing on the Promises of God, Standing on the Promises of Christ the King. Through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I shall shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. So let's stand and stand on these promises, if we might, and sing along.
Standing on the promises of Christ the King. Promises of God, my Savior, standing on the promise.
Father, we thank you for those promises.
Yes.
So guide us as we go forward this week and day by day. Thank you for each one here. We pray for the ones who aren't here. And Lord, we just thank you that we know that you're here. So
yes.
Guide and bless and protect as we go our separate ways. And may just 15 hour many here this morning lights be sending out your word and your truth this day. In Jesus' name, amen.